Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, Beat Check listeners, this is Lizzie Acker. We launched Why Though, our advice podcast, on this feed, but we're moving over to our very own Why Though feed. Come find us by searching for Why Though the podcast wherever you listen, and get more Why Though content at OregonLive.com/Why Though.
Welcome to Why Though the podcast.
Hi, Destiny.
Hi, Lizzie.
How are you today?
I'm dandy and fine. Fine and dandy even. How are you?
Oh, good. I'm pretty okay.
Wow.
We're here at Why Though the podcast.
We're here at Why Though the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, Yay. Listeners.
We're and back.
I'm so excited because we had a little warm spell after what I would call perfect Portland weather. Mm-hmm. And the perfect Portland weather has returned. We're back in sweaters and jeans.
I'm even wearing rain boots. I saw that it might rain today, so I was like, I'm wearing my boots.
I love that. We've returned, and I'm once again coming into my power, which means I will stay inside and take copious amounts of vitamin D.
Well, and I also would like to point out to our listeners that are just listening and not viewing that you're wearing a ghost sweater.
I am.
Perfect. And black lipstick. She's ready for the spookiness.
Thank you. It's blue, but I'll take it.
Blue lipstick. Sorry. I kind of saw that as I said black, but
it's okay.
It's a dark blue. Okay.
It's okay. I'll take it. Well, speaking of shoes, I'm wearing Converse, but we do have a question about shoes today that was sent to us by an actual reader. There are many ways that you can send Lizzie questions, including her email and any other way you can get a hold of her, carrier pigeon, skywriting. We've talked about this, but you can also text Lizzie.
Yeah, you can text the word advice to 503-751-8731, and then you can click the link and subscribe. It will cost you a little money after the first week or two, I think, but worth it because I will also be texting you like every day.
Yeah,
if that's something that you're interested in your life. And I love it when people send me questions. Send me your questions. The juicier, the better. This one's not like super juicy, but it's interesting to me.
Yeah, we immediately started talking about it. So I think that that means that there is something to be said.
Yeah.
So without further ado.
Our question.
Dear Lizzie, should it be an automatic courtesy to remove your shoes when entering someone else's house? What are the pros and cons of removing and not removing your shoes when visiting someone else's house, i.e. ask first, stinky feet if you take your shoes off, so best to wear your shoes, asking from unsure-footed?
You know, I was just, as you're reading this question, I was thinking, this is a problem I think that has reemerged since there was this like 2-year period where no one went into anyone else's house.
Right.
And so everyone got pretty like settled in their own ways. And part of me, when I was thinking, like, whose house would I go into that I don't know their shoe protocol?
That's true, though. Yeah.
But you might now. You might. And I have had people, my house is a no shoe house.
Okay.
And I just, you know, when I think back, I don't think I grew up in a no shoe house. I'm not sure. I would have to check back with my family, my brother who remembers everything. But I think we kept our shoes on, really. Except if it was muddy outside, which is, you know, like half the year.
Right. Yeah.
But I like taking shoes off. We take our shoes off because it keeps the house cleaner, in my opinion. And I just, yeah, we have, you know, it's just our habit. And I do think that when you walk into somebody's house, you can pick up context clues on this. So like, you don't have to take your shoes off in everybody's house. If somebody asks you to, I think you should.
You definitely should. It's rude if you don't, I think.
Yeah, I think it's actually pretty rude.
Yeah.
You shouldn't go to their house. But if they don't say anything, but you see next to the door a whole pile of shoes.
And nobody else is wearing shoes.
Yeah, you notice, they don't have shoes on. I would say take your shoes off.
Yeah.
But Destiny, you were saying you don't take your shoes off when you go into someone's house. So In your own house?
I don't. Well, so growing up in my house, we were not a shoes off household.
Okay.
But also because I grew up in a household that always had hard floors. Mm-hmm. So I think that's also why. Mm-hmm. The comfort level, I think, people kept their shoes on. I have pretty bad, and so does my mom, have pretty bad plantar fasciitis. Mm-hmm. So I occasionally have to get cortisone shots in my heel, are about as fun as they sound.
Ooh.
And so I wear special inserts in my shoes. Mm-hmm. For arch support. Mm-hmm. So that's one reason why I keep my shoes on. But it's not like if somebody asked me to take my shoes off, I'd be like, I'm sorry, my arch support. No, I'd take them off. It'd be fine. That's just why it's my natural inclination to keep them on.
Right.
So even when I take my shoes off in my house, I wear like special slippers.
Yeah. Okay.
Because my foot will hurt. Mm-hmm. But also the other reason is because I hate wearing socks.
Yeah.
I'm an ardent sock hater. Mm-hmm. I don't like to layer clothing. So if I'm wearing like a sweater, mm-hmm. I don't wear a shirt underneath it. I'm just wearing the sweater.
Yeah.
I'll just risk the heat difference during the day.
Oof, that's a tricky proposition in the summer, fall, winter, and spring here in Oregon.
Yeah. I really have to check the weather because I hate the feeling of layering clothing. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why I also don't love to take my shoes off in other people's houses, mm-hmm. because I don't love people to see my dogs. You know what
totally.
I mean?
I think, you know, there's also like the cultural element of it. Some cultures, it's like super disrespectful to wear shoes.
Absolutely.
Inside.
Yeah. I grew up with a lot of Asian friends, mm-hmm. and it's like automatic that when you go into an Asian household, typically you take your shoes off. If I know I'm going somewhere where I'm supposed to take my shoes off, I will wear socks.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it may be even worth it to just, like, put socks in your bag, mm-hmm. have socks in your back pocket.
Smart.
When I was young, mm-hmm. I remember babysitting for this family, and I don't remember well, it was one of the worst babysitting jobs of my life.
Ooh, rough.
And I walked in, and they were like, you got to take your shoes off. And this was, you know, I'm going to say the 90s. I was mm-hmm. young babysitting. Probably, you know, maybe even 14 young. I started babysitting when I was 11. Destiny.
I remember you saying that. So crazy.
But so I could have even been younger. But yeah, I remember. I also don't like socks. I have to say, I do not like socks. And plenty of times of year, I will not be wearing socks.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a problem going barefoot. And I took off my shoes and I was barefoot. And the woman flipped her lid, and she went and like found a pair of socks for me to wear.
That's insane.
Like they were having a dinner party, and I was. Accidentally didn't realize that I had been enlisted to watch like a bunch of people's children from the ages of like infant to five or older. It was a terrible babysitting job.
That's
I'm
insane.
Sure I got paid $3
the
an
whole
hour
thing is
and I don't
insane.
Think they gave me food. I was really hungry.
Yeah.
Anyway, for that reason I would say bring a pair of socks with you, because
not a terrible idea. And something that maybe I'll do in the future. I've never, even though I don't wear socks,
mm-hmm.
And I've never run into like an issue where I felt I've had to take my shoes off at somebody's house and I felt uncomfortable in terms of like stinky feet. I've had people say to me when I say mm-hmm. I don't love to wear socks, or like, don't your shoes stink?
Yeah,
no, because I know that I don't like to wear socks, mm-hmm. and that it can make your shoes stink. I just spray my shoes with stuff.
Well, there you go.
So they don't smell.
Right.
Because your feet do sweat.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and if you're not going to wear socks, which I don't like to wear socks, I just spray like some Arm & Hammer spray in there. Yeah. It's really not major.
Yeah. That's really smart. When I was a little kid, I also hated to wear socks and wore the same like slip-on.
The jelly shoes?
No, they were Converse. And they smelled very bad.
Yeah,
or Keds.
Yeah, little kids got little stinky feet.
But, you know, yeah, I think... As far as this question asker goes, I don't think it's automatic.
Mm-mm, no.
I think you should definitely ask if you're unsure.
Mm-hmm.
If you get picking up context clues.
Yes.
But also, like, in some houses, it isn't what people do.
Yeah, definitely.
And there are situations where there's things on the floor you don't want to step on,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. Like, I don't know. I think that we're all adults here. We can be respectful of other people's choices.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing about your house, your living space, is you get to decide
mm-hmm.
the rules for, you know, entry.
Yeah.
And so I think that you should just respect the people whose house it is.
Yeah. Like my adult home, if you wanted to come out, if you wanted to take your shoes off, you absolutely could. If you wanted to keep them on, you could also do that.
Right.
If you needed a pair of socks, I would loan you a pair, but I wouldn't care if. You had your dogs out in the home. I don't mind. Whatever you wanted, I don't care. You know, like, but some people really do. And it's nice of those people to let me into their home. The least they could do is take my shoes off.
Right. Yeah. In my house, it's like we all take our shoes off. Most people who come in kind of like pick that up.
Yeah.
And if they don't, it doesn't bother me until actually. So our bottom floor is wood floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then the stairs going upstairs are carpeted and the upstairs is carpeted. So I do like if somebody walks on the carpet and shoes, I get a little like, oh, yeah, please don't. Because
yeah.
it's so much harder to clean carpet.
Yes, absolutely.
And like it's, you know, you can mop the floor. I don't, right. I have a mop. I don't have like the carpet cleaning things. So, yeah. So just like use your best judgment.
For sure.
If you're at my house and you're wearing shoes, just don't go on the stairs.
It's nice of you to ask on sure footed, to be honest, for you to think about it. It's pretty courteous.
Yeah, I think so. Thinking about it, you know, that's the first step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Polite of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people are not this polite, obviously, and will ignore all context clues.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I think you're doing it right. Unsure-footed.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much for writing in
Lizzie
this question. You can find Lizzie's email to write her in your very own question, listeners, to this in the description below, but also by visiting organlive.com/why, though. You can find a bunch of old advice columns and the upcoming advice column, which comes out every Tuesday, and old episodes of this very podcast that you're listening to. That's organlive.com/why, though.
Yeah, go there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where all of this information is, and we do this every week.
We sure do. Mm-hmm. And we also have a little segment coming up for you guys.
Yeah, we're trying out some segments.
We are.
And feel free to let me know how you think, what you think of our segments by texting the word advice to 503-751-8731 and then just click the link and subscribe.
Yes, please. And then Lizzie will actually text you.
I would love to.
A lot of those texting services are like, you know, like robots.
Mm-hmm.
This one is actually Lizzie. It's not a Lizzie robot.
No, no, I don't. We don't have that technology yet.
Mm-mm. The AI hasn't gotten it.
No. Oh my gosh. Please. I feel like someone was like, you should just put into ChatGPT, like write a story in the style of Lizzie Acker, because I have so many things on the internet. It's too scary. I will not. No, thank you. So please don't do that. I'm sorry if I gave anyone ideas, but if you do, email me.
Yeah. So our first little segment is going to be a little smash or pass for those of you listening who don't know what smash or pass is. It's basically if you like it, it's a smash. If you hate it, it's a pass.
Mm-hmm.
And we just decided to talk about this. Just, you know, honestly, it's just a little gratitude practice. If we're being honest,
if we're doing gratitude practice, should we start with the pass?
Sure. Would you like
usually
to start?
You would start with smash, but
sure.
I'll start with pass.
Yeah, go ahead.
Pass on global warming. that's what I was thinking.
Right, that's what
you know, like I do like that it was really beautiful this weekend. And I also maybe you know what I'm gonna amend it to not just smash on global warming. Pass global warming, but pass like you know raising our kids with like zero hope for the future. I think we need to figure out how to like reframe. Mm-hmm. Our narrative, because I think it probably is really hard to be a kid right now and just hear like, I mean, sometimes I feel like, oh, everything is doom, doom, doom. There's so much doom in the headlines and doom, but we do have the capability to change things.
I have a lot of friends who will just straight up tell me, or people, even people I meet for the first time, I say I'm a journalist. I'll be like, oh, I don't read the news because it's all full of bad news. And I think to myself, that's a choice.
Yeah, you're obviously not going to organlive.com/why, though.
You certainly aren't, where it's not all bad news. In fact, it's advice for your life.
But you know what? Let's. I just want there to be some hope. Hope for the world. My kid turned 4 this weekend.
Yes.
And I just want her to grow up where she feels like there's a future for her and things she wants to do. And every kid, everywhere, all over the planet. Maybe that's a bit heavy for the morning, Monday morning, where or Thursday when you're listening, but that's just what I want. That's and I'm sick of the constant drumbeat of everything is hopeless, there's nothing we can do to change this world, because there is.
I think that's very real. My pass is the idea that getting older is bad.
Ooh, yeah, pass on that.
Pass on that. So whoever's listening to this is going to hear me say that I just turned 31 and they're going to roll their eyes real hard. But and I understand that I'm not old by any means. And I don't feel old, and nobody made me feel old, really. But I say this fresh off of having almost died last year.
Yeah, wow.
From a very serious medical event. What a privilege it is to get older. And it's unfortunate that it took such a scary medical event for that foresight. But, you know, it is a privilege to get older.
It is a privilege. I'm 41. I'm 10 whole years older than you. Yeah. And I think, I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast, but I feel like we've talked about it. Sometimes I get this sort of vibe from women who are, especially in their 30s, that are like almost apologetic when they find out that I'm 40, you know, or I'm 41 now. Silly. And yeah, I think it's actually, it's a huge privilege to be 41. Right. I'm so grateful that I have the life I have and that I, you know, I get to live every day, and thank goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel, grateful to have celebrated my 31st birthday, and
we're glad you're here.
Thank you so much. I'm also glad to be here. Yeah. It's just, I see, you know, there's just, I mean, you can see it everywhere. Both men and women are pressured in different ways as they get older. And of course it's certainly different, for women in terms of looks and expectation and
everything.
Know,
yeah.
You can see it everywhere you look. And, I think that's very, very silly. So yeah. I'm glad to have turned another year older, and I'm looking forward to turning another year older next year.
It's going
to
be great. Yeah.
Yeah. How about that smash?
Smash.
Lizzie?
Okay. I'm going to smash. I'm going to tell you this weekend, on the day that my child turned 4, I read a book in one day. I'm a bit of an extreme reader.
I am too.
I'm a fast reader, and I get fixated. And I sometimes regret it in that, like, I'm like, oh shoot, I just read that book so fast. The speed at which I read this book over the weekend, it's called The Vanishing Act of Esme Lennox. It is not a new book. It came out, I think, in 2006, and it's by the person who wrote one of my favorite newer books called Hamnet, which is about Hamlet. I'm just going to make sure I get her name right, because I have read like 4 of her books and I'm still like, I'm just going to double check her name. Maggie O'Farrell. Yeah. I was like, it's Maggie O'Farrell. She's an author, Maggie O'Farrell. This book is about a woman who, when she was like 16, was sent to an institution, in, you know, long ago, we'll say like, say that act took place 100 years ago or something like that. Mm-hmm. The timeline, like, it isn't like years, but it's fiction. Mm-hmm. So she's sent to an institution, and then when she's like 70, the institution is closing, and her niece, her grandniece, who never even knew she existed, gets basically a call. She's the next of kin, and like, we're letting this woman out because we're closing the institution. It's a really good book.
Wow.
And I think Maggie O'Farrell, all the books I've read of hers, and I have now read 4, I guess, deal with this issue of like, women not having autonomy and what that means, and and what they do and how they find it. This book is just so readable, and I just read it so fast, and at the end of the night, it was a busy day.
Yeah.
Okay. It was my kid's birthday.
Absolutely.
And I was still managed to find enough time to finish reading this book, and I'm like crying in bed, and my husband's like, like,
did you want to reread it immediately?
I'm not like a rereader.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a rereader. I was a little sad that I was out of that world.
Yeah. Know? That feeling of like, I finished that book that we were talking about last week, that Discovery of Witches, which was 600 pages, by the way,
which is quite
a long book for the first book in a trilogy, in my opinion. But sometimes when I finish a book, I get the instinct to want to reread it immediately.
Oh,
just like, because you always miss stuff.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
Because I am also a very fast reader.
I know I miss stuff with reading fast.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oof, it was so good.
That's great, though. What a great endorsement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Highly recommend.
Yeah.
And
so
I also
smash.
Really want someone to read it so
what
we can discuss
again?
It about. The Vanishing Act of Esme Lennox.
Great.
Anything by Maggie O'Farrell, though. But that's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Hamnet and that one. And then The Marriage Portrait. So good.
Wow. Great. A lot of good book recs on this pod. You're
yeah,
welcome.
It's a book pod.
Listeners, love that. And my smash for this week is Din Tai Fung.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys have not been. So there are Din Tai Fungs in California and also in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And here in Portland, there's one, and they're opening up a second. And it is a soup dumpling restaurant from, I believe, is it Taiwanese?
I think so.
I think it's Taiwanese. But it's very famous. And I had never been.
Good.
It's so good. My goodness. I love Asian food of really any description. I'm a quarter Japanese, so I did grow up eating a lot of Japanese food. I'll eat, you know, anything. Taiwanese food,
so
Filipino
good,
food, Indian
dumplings
food.
Though. There's something about
it. Anything about, I'll eat any form of dumpling, but these dumplings were incredible. Mm-hmm. It's been so long since I've had soup dumplings, and these were some mm-hmm. of the best. Yep. We also had bao buns, yum. Which were so good. And it's like a well-oiled machine. Yeah. Like we placed our order with our waitress. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly a different person appeared and they had baskets stacked like 8 high, like as mm-hmm. tall as them in their hand. And they're like, hey, we have your order of whatever kind of dumpling. And they just sat it down on the table. And then a different person came by, same thing, just mm-hmm. several baskets stacked high. And they're like, here's your other order. And it was just like, I mean, it was insane. We were in and out of there in 45 minutes. We wow. had made a reservation 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
This is in a mall, by the yeah. way. And the other one is also going into a mall. So this yeah. must be like their thing. They go into malls yeah. here. And it was just the people.
You're at Washington Square, right?
We were yeah. at Washington yeah. Square, yeah. And the people around us had all left, had eaten their food and left. Like it was mm-hmm. so well managed. And by the time that my roommate and I left, we were both like, you know, when you're so full, you just like can't even stand up straight.
Yeah.
We had eaten too much, oh, but it man, was so in a great way.
You know what
way.
I did once at Washington Square? Mm. I was walking around the mall. I really wanted Din Tai Fung. I was with my kid who was littler at the time. I was like, can't think of the idea of sitting in a restaurant with her, mm-hmm. like waiting. So I DoorDashed pickup.
That's so funny.
And I walked around that. The mall a little longer until my food was ready. Yes. And then just got it and like strapped her in the car seat.
It was so good. It's really so lucky good. That it's very far from me mm-hmm. because I would do something like that mm-hmm. quite often.
Frequently.
So
same.
If you haven't been to Din Tai Fung, you have to go. Mm-hmm. The hype is real. It was mm-hmm. delicious. I will be taking my mother when she comes.
Mm-hmm. Smash. Yeah. Smash.
So good. Wait for my birthday. Absolute smash.
Yeah. Awesome.
So
that's great. Should we do one more segment today?
One more segment. Yeah, I absolutely think that we should. I think that we have the time.
We're doing
Let's
a
double three check.
Segment.
Oh, yes, we Monday. Do. We have more in store for you guys. We did a little bit of this the other week, but we're going to go ahead and bring it back.
Comfortable here.
Yeah. Lizzie has to get into her optimal advice giving mm-hmm. position because if you don't know, we have many advice columns on OregonLive.com. We do Miss Manners, Dear Abby,
Ask Amy.
That's the other one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
Dear Doctor or something.
There's yeah, there's yeah. like Ask Doctors or something yeah. like that. So we have a Dear Abby here. That Lizzie,
it's a few weeks old.
It is.
But
it is.
We've been just thinking about it and discussing it.
You can find it on OregonLive.com.
We'll link it.
Yes, it'll be in the description below. And also, Lizzie and I talked about this at length. Mm-hmm. So we'll read it and then we'll yeah. chat about it. Okay. Yeah. So, Dear Abby. Must I tolerate my mother-in-law's heavy smoking so she can know her grandson? So here's the question. Dear Abby, my mother-in-law is a heavy smoker. She lives 2 hours away from us, so when she visits, she likes to stay for 1 or 2 nights. My husband and I have a 3-year-old son, and my mother-in-law's smoking is a huge concern for me. Every 2 hours, she smokes outside on our back patio. She seems to think that this is her right. She closes the sliding glass door behind her, but I can still smell the smoke inside the entire time. And of course, when she comes back inside, the smell permeates even more. After her last visit, our home smelled like an ashtray. My eyes burned and my son was also rubbing his eyes. By the second day, I'm seething each time she ventures out to smoke. I have asked her in the past to go down the street away from our home, but there's always an excuse why she can't. For example, she doesn't want to risk walking down the incline of the sidewalk for fear of falling. I don't think it should be her right to expose my child or us to harmful addiction. I need advice on how to make it clear that if she intends to visit our home and son in the future, smoking will not be permitted anywhere. My husband thinks we should just tolerate it while she's here. Signed, Fuming in the West.
Mm-hmm. I think you should read Abby's response okay. because that to me, I was like, oh, we had okay. different reactions. But
So Abby says in response, Dear Fuming, as much as I agree that smoking is unhealthy and a social turnoff, your husband is right. His mother is severely addicted to smoking. If she can't go more than 2 hours without a, quote, fix, end quote. She is cooperating to the extent that she can in your house rules. So if you want a relationship with her, if only so your child has a chance to know his grandmother, I suggest you lighten up. I also don't love her response.
I think, yeah. I mean, okay.
I think her response is very flippant.
I think it's flippant. Doesn't take into consideration the fact that, you know, smoking is an addiction that doesn't just affect the person who's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It has, like, secondhand smoke is a notable cause of harm mm-hmm. for people and children specifically. And, like, even it's your house. You get to make the rules. Kind of like the shoe thing, you know?
Yes.
Like, I do think that you can make the rules, and if she can't walk away from your house to smoke. There are places in the world that you're not allowed to smoke. There's a lot of places. Mm-hmm. So how does she deal with that? Like, she must deal with that in some way. And I have smoked cigarettes before in my life. I've known people who smoke lots of cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And I have friends who smoke cigarettes now, and they would never smoke a cigarette or anywhere near my kid. Mm-hmm. Plus, they have invented nicotine gum, which is, by the way, I know, like, to get you off smoking. But if you are a heavy cigarette addict, or even a mild cigarette addict, or you like nicotine, you can just chew nicotine gum and it gives you that fix that you need for like 2 hours. If you're going to, say, take a plane, you might chew some nicotine gum. If you're going to visit your grandkid, sometimes you're going to have to change your behavior. I think it's perfect. I do think that there has to be a conversation about it, though. I don't think you can just sit there seething.
So I grew up in a smoking household. Yeah.
Destiny has a different take than me.
I do. I mean, I do and I don't. I grew up in a smoking household. My parents didn't smoke in the house, but they smoked in the car with me.
Like, so, look, it's different because it's the car.
Right. So I was exposed to a lot of smoking in my life. My mom has been smoke-free for many, many, many years. Mm-hmm. So shout out to my mom. She quit smoking.
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah, it's super hard. And I watched her do the hard thing. And so I'm incredibly proud of her. And every year we celebrate her smoke-iversary.
That's great.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. I'm still really proud of her. And mm-hmm. I was proud of her at the time. But my grandma smoked in the house, mm-hmm. in her house. Mm-hmm. And I would visit her house. And you would just leave and all of you would smell like an ashtray. Right. And when I was a kid, like, you didn't really notice, but I've always had upper respiratory issues. Mm-hmm. Now I have asthma. Mm-hmm. And when I was a kid, I didn't know that I had had asthma.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I had upper respiratory issues. Mm-hmm. And so I understand. I think the mom's being really dramatic, to be honest. Mm-hmm. She was like, my eyes were stinging. Like, she's outside. She closed the door. When grandma mm-hmm. comes in, she's going to smell like an ashtray.
Yeah.
She's going to bring the smell in with her. Mm-hmm. It's clinging to her clothes. It's mm-hmm. clinging to her hair.
Mm-hmm.
Her everything that grandma has brought with her mm-hmm. likely smells like an ashtray.
Certainly, yeah.
So she's bringing that smell in with her. And mm-hmm. so I do understand that it's gross mm-hmm. and it's going to cling to your stuff.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have to wash the bedding that grandma was on, mm-hmm. the things that grandma touched. Mm-hmm. It's going to maybe cling to your couch where grandma sat. So don't get mm-hmm. me wrong. I understand that this is an inconvenience. Mm-hmm. But like, I think that you're being very dramatic. And the fact that you're seething, like, I think that this is a sticking point that sounds like your mother-in-law is a little rude.
Yeah.
And doesn't also care sounds about your like boundaries.
It sounds like your husband doesn't care about your
absolutely.
Boundaries.
Absolutely. So it sounds like you're seething about this sticking yeah. point.
Mm-hmm.
There are deeper issues here.
Yeah. This seems like a thing that your husband needs to talk to his mom about.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a way to have a conversation about it. You know, like smoking, this isn't the 40s, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People who smoke cigarettes understand that they cannot smoke cigarettes in lots of places.
Correct.
So like, it's not, I don't think that your mother-in-law, I mean, I don't know, maybe she'll be like, that's it, that's the last straw, I will never see my grandchild again. Maybe. And you know what, she might die of lung cancer any minute. So
I just don't think her not smoking is going to ultimately solve the issue, because it's her entire aura that mm-hmm. smells of cigarette smoke.
Yeah.
Everything she has, everything she touches, her mm-hmm. hair is just going to smell of cigarette smoke. And I know that because I was exposed to it for so long.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, like, she just, her essence is cigarette smoke. Mm-hmm. The same way that when you peel an orange, mm-hmm. that your hands smell of orange for the whole day. Yeah. That's just how it is. It's under her nails. It's in her skin. Mm-hmm. So that's not going to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
If you're so then the concern about your kid being mm-hmm. exposed to secondhand smoke... Well, is that the concern?
Well, I mean, I think that, like, probably it's not just the smoke. It is the whole smell of it everywhere.
You're not going to be able to get rid of that.
I don't think you can get rid of that, but I do think you can set a boundary for where she can smoke. I do.
Certainly,
I do think that.
Yes, absolutely. Like, your house, your rules.
Yeah, if somebody is smoking cigarettes right outside your window, even if the window is closed, you can smell it.
Absolutely.
And so I think that
totally
you could
agree.
Say, go further into the yard.
Yes.
Or could you please... not smoke anywhere on my property, and if that's too hard for you,
I don't think that's gonna work. See,
I might not, but I do think there are solutions if you're willing. If like her real issue is that she's addicted to cigarettes, if she's addicted to nicotine, she wants to see her grandson. Like, she could chew nicotine gum.
I guess I just watched people who are really heavy smokers try and use the patch and then gum and then watch the miserable monsters that they've turned into because it just doesn't work for them. Okay. And so while I think they should try that, I guess I'm just kind of picturing all of these miserable people who seem to be miserable about this one very silly issue.
Yeah. Well, I what about, like, what if it wasn't cigarettes? What if it was a different kind of active addiction? You know, like, I think that it's fair to say that cigarette smoke is harmful for kids and she doesn't want it around her kid. If it was a different kind of addiction, like if your mother-in-law was an alcoholic or addicted to, like, opioids or something, and you still wanted to, you could still figure out ways to see that person working around the lack of safety or something. Like, maybe you can go visit her and you can meet at a park.
Right.
You know what? Yeah. Maybe it's 2 hours away. Like, yeah, you drive the 2 hours. You stay at a hotel every once in a while and you hang out with her outside.
You go to a restaurant where she can't smoke anyway.
Right. Yeah. Like, come up with ways that it is she isn't staying at your house for 2 days. And I also think that truly, like, you and your husband have to get on the same page.
Yes.
And then your husband has to talk to his mom. Like, I just don't think it's ever fair for the in-law spouse to have the tough conversation with the other person's parent.
And she should be able to say that. She should be able to say, I don't want you to smoke in my house.
Yeah.
Like, I believe that. Mm-hmm. I just think that, like, it's not going to solve the problem that she's purporting to have, unfortunately. Right. But I do believe that she should still be able to say that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just, ultimately, I think the solving of the problem comes in the, I don't think that the mother-in-law should be going over to her house.
Maybe, yeah, right like, exactly.
Because she's going to bring with her all of the smoke smell and all that
especially
stuff.
Especially not for days, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, and even, you know, 2 hours is far, but it's not like so far that you can't do it in a day.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think you could go to her or, but ultimately, you and your husband have to agree.
Yeah.
And then no one, it seems like, has even had a real conversation about it. This with her. If it was my mom, you know what I would say? I want you to stop smoking because I don't want you to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
but you
I had that conversation several times.
Right. But as the in-law, you can't have that conversation.
For
but
sure.
A kid can and should have that conversation with their parent.
Definitely.
Like, if it was alcohol, for example, you would hopefully be able want to say to your parent, you're killing yourself and you're making it impossible for me to be around you. Maybe you can't, but you also...
Yeah.
That's on you and not your wife.
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Yeah. And you're putting your wife in an unfair position by not, whether you agree with it or not, not making a stance about it.
Right. You're basically pitting your wife against your mom, and that's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So as usual, it's the man's fault. No, just
But also, it was just wild to me that this Dear Abby response is literally like half a paragraph, and the question that was sent in was like four paragraphs.
Right. And also, like, her response is basically, get over it.
Yeah.
Which I think is, like, pretty unfair. There's more. You could say more. Say more.
Yeah. Dear Abby, say more.
Yeah. Do you get, I mean, please read her column, and we really love having her column. But also, like, wow.
I read the columns as they come through.
Yeah,
so I mean, don't get me wrong, she's got me, but I didn't necessarily agree with this one.
Yeah. And if you're looking for more nuanced advice, or you have a question, you can send it to me. You can go to oregonlive.com/whytho, whytho,
the cool spelling.
And that's where you'll find us.
Absolutely. You can find all old episodes of this very podcast that you're listening to, and also old advice columns. New advice columns come out every Tuesday, but I think we advised pretty well today.
We really did. We are getting so good at this.
Getting really good at
this. We are going to get more plaques. You and me, more plaques.
Wow. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it, and we'll be back next week with more advice.
Bye.
Bye.
Great work as usual. Thanks for listening to Why Though the Podcast. Listen to other episodes and read my column at oregonlive.com/whytho. You can support us by leaving a 5-star review or heading over to oregonlive.com/podsupport.